This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/morningstream and enter the promo code MORNINGSTREAM. Coming up on TMS, that's a lot of corn nuts.
How'd that duck get in there?
Bears need to get work done too.
PETA says milk is the enemy.
Sorry about your package.
That naked man can really swing, but related.
Major spoilers and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Wow, that was a super groovy save.
Right on. Like, I guess I'll have to get in some practice on bending bridges.
I am Anthro from the planet of Traum in a far distant galaxy.
The Morning Stream. It's totes fat.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to TMS, The Morning Stream, for Monday, the 3rd of April, 2017. April, Brian. April.
April, we are finally done with March. Goodbye, March.
Yeah, we got a
East. Goodbye, out like a lamb.
Mm-hmm. In like a. Wait, does it come in like a lion? What's the deal?
Like a lion, out like a lamb.
I always forget what that thing is. Mm-hmm. So, why is that? I don't understand it. Explain
because
how that.
Because the weather is supposed to be crazy as you get into March.
Yeah.
And then calm as you leave March. So, like, you'll be still in the thick of major winter storms in the beginning, like, typically.
Yeah.
At the beginning of March, and then by the time March 31st rolls around, you should be like facing milder weather.
Okay, well, call me crazy, but I feel like that stuff has changed over the years. Like, I feel like April's I feel like April's the nuts month for me for weather. And there, and when they talk about these weather, you know, kind of colloquial old school sayings about weather, they're talking about the kind of weather where people who live in climates that have all four seasons. Well-defined seasons. Yeah, here's right. Summer, here's fall, here's winter, here's spring, and this is exactly how they go, and this is what you can expect. You get snow in the winter, you get heat in the summer, and you get everything in between. You get the leaves turning colors. Like, you and I live in those kind of climates, right? Mm-hmm, so we're right. supposed to be the targets of old sayings about weather, but I don't think it's working anymore. It should be out like a... No. How should it go now? Out like still sort of like February, in like what the hell's going on now? Like, that is something new. It needs to be no lion, no lambs. That's all bullshit.
Right.
I don't buy into it anymore.
Yeah, but, no, it's totally changed. Totally does not fly.
Yeah,
maybe it does not hold with me, bub.
That's right. Maybe the way we gauge how much climate change there actually is. Isn't through scientific methods or arguing on stage with people who don't think climate change is happening or whatever. Forget about all that. We just measure the distance between how the weather is versus the saying that we still say about the weather.
Sure.
The further away those two things are, the more climate change there is. Nailed it.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
All right. Thank you very much.
Well done.
Yeah, I'm submitting it to the governmental... the thing for Ministry of Things.
Perfect.
Hey.
Make sure to put extra stamps on that envelope.
I will, or it'll never get there. All right, so I got a question for you. It's a food-related question.
Oh, let me put on my chef's hat.
Okay, good.
All right, I've got my chef's hat on, and ask me your food question.
Oh, that reminds me. I saw a bunch of the British Bake Off deal there.
Oh, yeah, season 2, the one on Netflix?
Three, I think they're on now. Isn't it three?
No.
They only have two on Netflix?
Season 2 is the one that just did on Netflix.
Oh shit. That was a spoiler. Sorry, everybody.
I think that was season 1.
Season 1 was... I think there's more seasons up there, dude. I know there are multiple seasons up there.
Okay, hold on a second.
Because we saw... Because the one we just finished... took it all away.
Well, the one we just finished, the season 1... Oh, you mean the one you just watched?
Yeah. Yeah, just finished up, and it was on Netflix.
Okay, yeah, that might have been a little bit of a thing, because the first season had that that really sweet like 17-year-old girl baking.
Yes,
right?
Yeah, and she's gone. Oh no, actually, I know there are more because they're already into a new season. Kim and Carter. So the second season had maybe it was the third season finale I saw.
I'm looking. Great British Baking Show. You're right. There are three seasons now on Netflix.
That's
we're only
what I saw.
Into season two. So.
Okay. Oh, never mind everything I said before then. It's all... it's none of the what
but
I said.
But will there be ladies in ill-fitting pantsuits narrating each episode?
Yes. Yes, okay. There will
not
be.
Not really pantsuits. Just ill-fitting pants, yeah. Really, is what it is.
And their teeth are weird. And it's a lovely sponge and all that will be there. Anyway, the reason
I a soggy bottom.
The reason I bring that up is we watched a bunch of that, and then we turned around and watched Skin Wars. Have you seen that? It's the body painting deal.
Porn competition. It no, does. I've not even heard of that.
It's where they paint. It's body painting competition, and it's on Netflix also, and there are a few seasons of that. And it's a reality show where people compete with body art. You know, like you see somebody camouflaged against a wall of products or whatever, and you can barely see there's a person there because they painted them to look like they're part of this whatever, or people get all combined in a big wad of people and you paint them look like lions or whatever, but they're always these like naked, or in this show's case, you know, pasty thong wearing ladies who are painted up, and the artistry is really, really amazing, but the reality show part of it is horrible. It's horrible, dude. It's that same let's make drama where there is none. Let's have weird camera pauses where there weren't any. Let's have crappy music. Let's have RuPaul say something rude to somebody.
Oh, RuPaul is the host of this one?
He's one of the judges. There's gotcha. Like a little, okay. There's a, so you got Rebecca Romaine Lettuce. She's there. She's your host, okay? So Rebecca Romaine Lettuce, she stands off to the side. And does.
She's the Heidi Klum of this business.
She is. And then you got a little goblin man whose name I don't know. He just looks like a little goblin, and he's got two earrings and looks like a goblin. And then you got a lady who owns some body paint thing in Vegas or something. And then you have RuPaul. So RuPaul, but he's not all in drag. He's just skinny, normal guy, RuPaul.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
They bring in guests, like they had Linda Carter come on for some reason. Oh, because they did a superhero one, so they had her coming.
Okay. I was going to say, because she's available?
Yeah, basically, yeah. They had the guy who played Jigsaw.
Oh, she's on Supergirl now. It's funny, they're bringing everybody who's ever been in a superhero TV show ever.
On Supergirl?
On Supergirl.
Well, you got to do what you can.
Terry Hatcher and Dean Cain and...
Were they on together, Dean Cain and Terry Hatcher?
I think there might have been an episode where they overlapped, perhaps.
That's the way you got to do that.
Yeah, but I don't think they came in contact with each other during the show. No, they she was on a spaceship flying high above the Earth, and
that sounds really dumb.
Supergirl's dad, adopted father.
If you have Dean Cain and Terry Hatcher on the same scene and they accidentally touch each other, they'll turn to purple goo like Ron Silver. Anyway,
I really thought for sure you're going to say something about him being real and spectacular.
No, but that's good too. That's a good reference also. So anyway,
all right, sorry, go back to
so
Skin
my
Wars.
Whole point was, what was my point? Oh, Skin Wars. It's dumb and horrible, except for the art. The art's amazing. But then they have all this reality trope stuff in the middle, and I hate it. So what I'm saying, my entire original point is, the British Baking Bake Off Bake Show has ruined all other reality TV for me. It is such a high mark of how to do it right that everything else seems like crap. And I dare you to find me a reality show that's as good as that Bake Off deal. You can't do it.
I would have a hard time doing it. I mean, I find... Like you said, I find Amazing Race and Survivor compelling. Hell's Kitchen is just crap TV, and I'll admit it. And Big Brother, the same thing. But Great British Baking Show does two things for me. Number one, it shows me that people in a competition on a television show can actually be genuinely good to each other and not try to sabotage each other and form alliances. And I didn't come here to make friends and all that BS.
Yeah.
Number two,
makes
me want to freaking bake up a storm.
Makes me want to eat.
I want to make a sponge. I want to make a cinnamon roll. I want to go make breadsticks. I can't watch that show without wanting to fill my oven with sweets and pastries and soggy bottom sponges.
So it's such a lovely sponge.
And also,
but Paul Hollywood must smell like Axe and.
I think he smells like Axe and truffle oil. That's what I think.
Axe and interns is what he smells
like. There you go. There you go. Not bad. But anyway, I just wanted to make that point. That show's ruined all other reality shows. And that, yeah. and here's the thing: the body paint one, they could totally do the same. They could do the same thing. I know they're not after each other in that show. They're not. Mm-hmm. This is all made up, and you can hear it in their voices when they're like in front of the camera going, "This is really going to be tough. I can't believe that what's her name would say that about me. But gosh darn it, I'm going to persevere." It's like, what are you reading that from? This isn't coming from the heart. It's coming from the fart.
I bet we could do. We could set this up. We could actually do a test in Nerdtacular and actually make what looks like a one episode reality show from Nerdtacular and just capture like a shot of Veronica looking angry about something. But then you intertwine that with you doing the introduction on stage and saying something, and then you put some harsh music with that shot of Veronica going, and all of a sudden it looks like she hates you.
Yeah, fake drama. And then suddenly the whole internet thinks it's real. It's so dumb to me. And now, by the way, I was just going to say, it's not going to be hard to get Veronica to make an angry face, but that's
well,
terrible.
Well, just terrible. Capture during any point of Frog Pants All-Stars, and you'll have your deal.
Exactly. All right, so back to the food thing. Got a food question for you.
Yeah, ask away.
I ate a whole bag of corn nuts.
Okay.
Now, most of the time, if you hear that from somebody,
what size are we talking? The
not the little, not the snack
single
bag.
Single serving bag. Oh crap, Scott!
One of the here. I got it right here. Where is it? Oh no, this isn't the bag, but it's the same size bag. So this is a Jolly Rancher bag, but that right there is how big I.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, whole thing in about I don't know half an hour.
Let me guess. Broken Isles? No, Heroes.
Neither. I just did it while I was working. Now, here's the thing. I expected when I was done, I had immediate regret. I was like, what if, not only that, they're jalapeno something flavored. Okay, so they're kind of spicy and all this. And my sensitive constitution.
Just spinning that chamber.
Totally Russian roulette. You're not kidding. Yeah. So I finished it and I immediately felt regret. I felt remorse and I thought, why did I do that? I'm going to pay for this later. This is going to be bad later. And lo and behold, no problem.
Wow.
Piece of cake.
That is like flare-up recipe 101.
Yeah.
Like not just the corn nuts, but the sodium and the jalapeno flavoring and the...
Yeah. I didn't break a tooth even. Like those are other... That's the other thing you got to watch out with those.
Those aren't beaver nuggets.
No. That's true. They're not quite beaver. No, but nothing is quite a beaver nugget. Except maybe a hard diamond that's been pressed by the earth for thousands of years. That's close to a beaver nugget. But these were not that bad. And I didn't break a tooth, didn't lose a crown, didn't have even the remotest stomach ache or anything. I didn't even have like the devil Dorito farts or anything. It's as if I didn't even eat them. So I don't know what it means. I'm not going to push my luck. Don't.
Yeah, don't take this as a, all right, I'm cured. Yep. Bring
me another bag, honey. I mean, I noticed in the kitchen we have three or four of these things. That doesn't mean I'm going to be tempted. It'll be fine.
Yeah, no, you just got lucky, sir. And I would say take that luck and buy a scratcher or something, but don't try and do it again.
Buy a scratcher? What's that?
Buy a scratcher.
What's that?
A scratch-off ticket, a lottery ticket.
Oh, that's... See, we don't live in a lottery town, so I never hear these terms. They're called scratchers?
Buy a scratcher.
Oh, I love that. What else? Give me another term. What else do you say if you want to get a... If you're trying to get up on that.
Boy, that's the only one I know. we're not like different countries, Scott.
No, I know, but I never...
We've got a bunch of mountains between us.
I love local termy terms. I feel like we're running out of those. As we become a more increasingly homogenized culture across the world because of the internet, I'm going to miss it when we don't have our little quirky things. Like, my descendants will stop saying both and waint.
Right?
You know? Yeah. And you guys, you'll stop saying, what's that word you always say? There's something you always say.
I say har.
Oh, har for horror.
Instead of horror.
Right. Yeah. Horror. Something else you say.
It's a horror film. Horror film.
We're gonna have grandkids that think that's the funniest thing they've ever heard when we say this stuff.
Right, yeah.
All right. Secondly, here's advice number two. All right, so you've given me first advice. Don't do that again.
Don't do that again. And you got lucky, but don't push your luck.
Okay.
As you know.
Perfect. Advice number two, how to keep ducks out of your yard overnight. So here's the deal. Woke up this morning, went to put the dog out. Dog went bananas immediately. You're like, what is the dog doing? Yeah. And she was chasing three or four full-sized adult ducks out of our yard. Wow. Who I don't know how they got in there. They had to have flown in because there's no way to scurry under something. Mm-hmm. There's fence everywhere. So they, so somehow they were all in there and they had shat on everything. The grill had duck poo
even
on it.
The grill?
Yes.
Like you have the grill closed, so not on the actual grill.
Right. It's on the outer shell. A couple of chairs that are out there. We just bought a new, what do you call it? Like a fire pit, but it's not really a fire pit. It's like a propane style one that's got rocks in it.
Oh, that's nice. A little stone thing around it.
Yeah, like, it's cool. You just stick it in the middle of your thing and it's great. And that had some duck poo on it. There was duck poo on the new tiling we put out there and on the grass. And there was a big old load out by the fence. I don't know why they poo so much, but I don't know why they're there. Why suddenly? I mean, we live near a lake, but not that near it. Like, they had to cross a busy road.
Right.
They had to go through another busy road, two of them, actually. Cut through a whole other set of neighborhoods to get to us. And somehow we ended up with three ducks in the backyard.
It's got to be food, right? I mean, that's the only reason animals do anything.
That's true.
To eat. Maybe it's a safety thing. They like, your fenced area is an area where they don't necessarily have to worry about cats.
Yeah, maybe. I guess we didn't have
any
cats.
But I would think food. What food? Like, did you throw any seed back there? Breadcrumbs? You have breadcrumbs in your lawn there?
Not that I know of. I mean, that's what I said to Kim. I said, what's back there? And she goes, well, she just put in some landscaping stuff, but it was just like, I don't know if you've seen this. So you go buy a bunch of bark to put into your garden areas?
Yeah, right.
Well, that stuff usually lasts like a year and you got to do it again. It's kind of lame. So for just a little bit more money, not a lot more, you can get that same stuff in the color that you want. Let's say it's kind of an umber color or something.
Right. The recycled...
recycled tires.
Tire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we got these big bags of shredded tire. I didn't know that was a thing you could do.
Oh, yeah. Our back area where we have our gardens and where we used to have Tristan's trampoline was all... all covered with that colored tire stuff.
And you've been happy with it? You like it?
Totally happy with it. It's heavy enough that it doesn't blow around in the wind and like blow into the other parts of the lawn. You need to
Is there something about it that attracts ducks is the question? Because that's the only thing that's changed.
Never had ducks in our lawn. We've had we get robins all the time. We get rabbits. We don't get anything. We've seen ducks going down the path, but never have actually gotten ducks in our yard.
Okay, well, Nick's theory is that Mendoza sent the ducks over.
I have a job for you.
You want to show your loyalty? You go over to this house and shit on
One
everything.
One of these days, I will come to you for a favor. That day is today. I want you to go to 123 Evergreen Terrace, visit the home of my mortal enemy. Here's a photo.
This is what he looks like. He's a big lanky guy with a crappy beard.
I want you to shit all over his lawn. Can you do that for me?
Yeah, boss. Yeah, we can totally do that for you, boss.
Shitty ducks. Aflac, and they ran. All right. So anyway, there's that. We kicked them out. They're gone now. So he'll whatever. Try again, Mendoza. I can hose off my yard.
Yeah, bring it, Mendoza. You know what you had to get? Do you guys? You mostly see these in the winter, and it's mostly I think for the Canadian geese coming through, but. Yeah. Do you guys see, like in soccer fields and stuff, those people who put plywood wolves?
Mm-mm.
You guys don't have?
No. That's
Holy
awesome.
Holy cow, we see these all over the place. So it's like the silhouette of a wolf.
Okay.
Spray painted black. I think it's like made out of plywood or something.
Is that enough for a goose to know what the hell that is?
Yeah, apparently it is. And people just put these in their yards. They put them on soccer fields. They put them all over the place. And it's really, like I said, it is just the outline of a wolf done in plywood. I think sometimes you do a cloth tail so that blows in the wind and creates a little sense of movement.
Mm.
But that's funny that hasn't made it over the Rocky Mountains over to
maybe it hasn't. I've just never seen it, but I've never seen that before. That's really
weird.
What
you do is you make sure that it's perpendicular to where you think they're coming in from. Like if they're flying in from the back part of your fence, make sure that the flat side of the wolf is pointed towards there. Otherwise, they just see a a two-dimensional chunk of wood and they don't see the shape of it.
All right. Well, two things come to mind. How stupid are geese? That's number one.
Right.
And then it also makes me think geese and fish and crows should all have evolved to the point now. Don't they pass down anything to their offspring? Does a crow not say to junior crow, hey, that guy with straw coming out of his neck over there hanging on a cross in the middle of the cornfield isn't actually a person. You're fine. Go ahead and go out there. It's not going to hurt you. Like, why can't animals start to catch on? I feel like squirrels and little birds do. Like, pigeons weren't always cool around people, but they learned that if you hang around them, they're going to throw bread at you. So eventually right. That seems like you have a whole race of pigeons or a whole brand of pigeons that are just totally cool around people. Same with squirrels in certain places where they'll just come up to you and want to take something out of your hand. In other places, they're still terrified of people. So why can't they pass it? Why can't Dad Fish say to Fish Jr., son, just because it's shiny doesn't mean it's a thing to eat. And notice there's a little string holding it and there's a little hook at the end of it, you dumbass. And how many worms come down this far? Think about it, son. Think about it. Like, why don't they ever have that conversation?
I think it's a lot for them to explain. Ugh.
I feel like it's really holding them back.
Also, the ones who fall for it don't have that knowledge to come back and tell their offspring not to fall for it.
Right. Dad disappeared and we never heard a thing, right?
That's right. Exactly. Hey, look at this hook. Can't wait to tell my kids about how we could get all this free food.
Yeah, but I just think of like the one that gets away, like it tears through his jaw and he comes home and goes, oh, family, I'm so glad I made it here. It was a rough week, but I just need to warn you.
Good thing I'm small and they threw me back.
Yeah, I don't get it. There's probably something for us to learn as humans there. There's things that we do that we seem to not be able to stop doing because we don't listen to those who have told us. We're just as bad as fish is what I'm getting at. Yeah. Brian, you went to the Infusion Center. It was one of those weekends. How'd it go?
It was one of those weekends. So Tina had her fifth chemo session. We're on the second half with the new chemo mix, and it's giving her a little bit of bone pain. I won't get into the details of that, but she's having a rough Sunday and today. But so Friday was chemo day, and we knew it was going to be a longer one because they were going to monitor this new chemo thing. So in this case, I was prepared, right? I downloaded a couple shows to my iPad from my TiVo so I could watch them there. Watched Legends of Tomorrow on the Flash or Arrow, and brought my little ear pods. And we walked in there and they had an extra comfy chair. So Tina always gets like this nice recliner with it's got a little table built into it and then a little thing on the side where she can put food and stuff like that so that she can be super comfortable. And usually I'm in like a just kind of a regular chair, or sometimes they have like a nicer seat that's kind of padded that I sit next to her on. But
sure.
I'm always like right next to her and not usually in as good a chair as she is in. Well, Friday, through whatever scheduling, the fact that we got there early, they said, well, we've got this other chair right next to her. You can have that one. And it was one just like hers. Nice recliner, little table sits on top, and I could put my iPad up there. So she's getting her drip, and she's actually taking a little bit of a nap. I'm like, all right, I'm going to pull out the iPad and watch some TV. Mm-hmm. So I put the AirPods in. I fire up Legends of Tomorrow. I'm sitting there watching. I got the recliner out. I got my feet up, sitting there watching this. And I see what I have to assume is the director of the infusion center, because she's not in scrubs like everybody else is, but they're walking around and they're showing her everything and saying, okay, you know, pointing towards what people are getting and that sort of thing.
You say she's not in scrubs. She's like administrative, like suit pants kind of
exactly thing. Like a nicely dressed outfit, but obviously looks like she's getting shown what's going on.
Gotcha. All right.
And I've got my AirPods in, so I'm not talking to her, can't hear what she's saying or anything like that. But she's going down, she looks at Tina and sees that she's sleeping, and then she looks over at me and she gestures she rubs her face with both hands on her cheeks, like where on me my beard, my hair, like my this. Stubble is
yeah.
right
yeah.
kind of doing the yeah you got some stubble there. And then she looks at, like, is looking at me doing this with a big smile on her face, like rubbing the cheeks, and then gives me the thumbs up and mouths the words looking good, and then keeps on walking. And my assumption is, because I just recently shaved my head, my assumption is that she saw me in one of those comfy chairs and thought I was getting an infusion as well, and said, all right, your hair's coming in looking good.
Oh, that's hilarious, dude. That's hilarious. So she thought you were like, ah, his hair's coming back in.
That's right. Exactly. Look, you got some hair coming in. Good deal.
That is like a the less offensive version of somebody assuming someone's pregnant when they're not.
far less. Yes,
yeah.
Right.
Well, I've done that before, by the way, a couple times. I learned my lesson. I'll never do it again. I don't care what you've got. I don't care if you're a skinniest lady I've ever seen and you've got a weird belly sticking out. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, otherwise you are totally skinny. I'm not going to say you're pregnant until you tell me.
There are things that you teach your children very early on.
Yep.
It's never ask a woman her age and never ask her when she's due.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Get confirmation. Make sure you've heard it first and then go, oh, I'm so excited for you. Oh, here's the other thing not to do. Unless you know them really well, like maybe a sister-in-law, maybe somebody close, do not say, can I touch your belly? Can I come in and just go, ooh, let me feel it and see if I can get a kick out of it?
Yeah, once you've confirmed, by the way, don't do this even before you've confirmed that they're pregnant.
This is a never do.
Yeah.
This is a never do, no matter what.
You wait for the invitation. Do you want to feel the baby?
Yeah.
You want to
feel it? And then you go, oh, yeah, sure, I want to feel it. But then only feel the baby, all right?
Yeah,
don't go roaming around and don't say, ooh, are your boobs different? Don't do that. All right.
Yeah.
Here's your. You're seeing Iron Fist, and you're the only person who's told me you kind of like it.
Well, I was gonna say I just typed that in. I'll save this for major spoilers because we're already at almost 10:30.
Yeah.
So I'll talk about it more during major spoilers because I know he watched it and he wasn't as happy with it. But I'm an episode and a half in.
Yeah.
I'm still really enjoying it. I'm thinking, all right, when does it start getting slow and everything like people are saying? And it makes me wonder how. Things like Rotten Tomatoes and Twitter and social media have affected our own reviews, because it's very rare now that we go in to watch something, see a movie or something, and not have heard any opinions about it.
Yeah.
Makes me, you know.
Sometimes I wonder if. Yeah. You make a good point. I just started watching Into the Badlands. That AMC show.
Mm-hmm.
And I have basically avoided any positive or negative feedback about that anywhere. I've just sort of thought, oh, that's the thing I'll get to, but I don't want to hear anything about it. So sort of avoided all the reviews, avoided anyone's opinion. And so I'm getting to see it in a way that's kind of rare, because you usually have all this opinion before you go in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not that that show's generally well received, it turns out. Mm-hmm. But so this may be a bad example, but I'm loving it on my own terms. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not colored by anybody else's thoughts, opinions, feelings, or anything. One way or the other, I'm just enjoying it. So I'm neither taking plums nor leaving plums with that show. And, and I'm totally digging it.
Cool.
More on that Wednesday. I think that's my recommendal this week.
Nice.
All right.
We'll talk more about it when Steven Schleicher comes on, because I know he watched it. He wasn't as much of a fan.
He'll have things to say, I'm sure.
Yeah, maybe he'll say, oh, yeah, you're still when it's in the good part, Brian. Wait about another episode and a half, and then you'll start.
Then you'll really, really hate it, he'll say then.
Yeah.
All right, we have an announcement. It's time for us to announce this month's film festival, 32nd TMS Film Festival. We had a great turnout for March. It is now April. And Brian, we have a topic. What is it?
We do. Courtesy of 9 of 12 in the chat. She's one of the Geek Grills. Well done. She suggested best and or worst gift. So here's what you can do. It's fairly wide open, right? You can either do a video of you giving somebody a great gift or getting the worst gift, like even a pranky gift if you want. Or you could even be really clever and figure out a way to give somebody best and worst gifts, like an entire rasher of cooked bacon.
Oh, man, my goodness.
That's a great gift, right?
Yeah,
but then
I like
you realize, well, if I don't eat this all right away, it's going to go bad. So now it's a bad gift.
Mm. I like it.
It's a horrible example, but you kind of
I understand what you mean.
Yes.
It'll do in a pinch. We'll go through what? 28th again? Is that the
cutoff? 28th is a... No, we'll have to do it 25th, because the 28th is a Friday, 30th is Sunday. The month ends on a Sunday, so we'll want to do it the Thursday. Give the prize away on the 27th.
Right.
Give ourselves a couple days. So the 25th is our cutoff.
Slightly less time, folks. Slightly less time than you're used to.
Oh, no, not really. I mean, you got 22 days. You've got 3 weeks in a day, yeah. You can totally do this.
Yeah. Oh, you can totally do it. It's just less than your normal. It's like 3 days less, but that's fine. So, yeah. You can totally do it. It's not hard. It's an easy topic, but you can have some real fun with it. Again, that's the TMS April Film Festival. We have a huge prize package at the end of this. We love doing it. It's a monthly thing. Get on it. And a quick programming note. Next week is Vegas week for Brian and I. We're going to both be together at least Tuesday for a that's big chunk of time. We're going to hopefully get a bunch of audio and stuff there. That's my plan. But we have no, there will not be shows Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So those 3 days, no shows. There will be a show Monday, but this little mini vacation is going to take us off the air for those 3 days. We'll be back at it the following week as if nothing ever happened, but just letting everyone know in advance. We will not be here next Tuesday, Wednesday,
but
or my,
Thursday. Our plan is, especially with me doing the whole overnight thing, my plan is to provide you with enough entertainment over social media that you won't even complain about there not being TMSs for Tuesday through Thursday.
Ah, is that your goal? All right. Sweet.
That's my goal. I will provide, hopefully provide some great entertainment for people.
All right. Well, that's something I'm very much looking forward to. Can't wait for the 5 hours of wondering if it'll snow while we're going and have to pee in a cup. It's going to be great. Let's get Daryl all up in this biznatch.
Yeah.
It's time.
Yeah.
There's no holding back at this point. I meant to do this earlier. Now I'm slow. Hold on a second, Daryl. I'm sending it to you, buddy. No, Daryl, I was showing you how you go to that webpage. Oh, Daryl. Anyway, he's clicking a thing. He's now coming in, and he's a goofy guy. We're going to... I don't know what that has to do with anything, but as soon as he arrives, we'll start this up. Now, an important note today. The prize package is enormous.
It is.
You're going to receive a huge digital prize package that you're going
to
love.
You're
going to
get an enormous package.
That's right. And I don't even know how to thank Jordan Blythe for letting us do this, but we'll get to that in a second. Cow. He's amazing. Yeah. He's great. Here's your thing. Hey, everybody. It's Stump a Trek Nerd. Stump Daryl is really the way we say it because there's no more Trek questions, although sometimes there are Trek questions. Hi, Daryl. What's going on? Hello? You're muted.
Yep.
Perfect.
I see your lips are moving.
Your lips are moving, yet your microphone is muted.
Still nothing?
I'm going to pause. All right, Daryl's here now. He's here now. Hi, Daryl. What's going on? How are you?
I don't know. I still want to fix this other thing, but I'll do that later.
Yeah, you got some routing deal or something going on there. Some microphone. Oh, you know what it is? Sometimes if Skype is running when you answer a Hangout, sometimes Skype won't let go of the microphone.
Mm. Oh, that must be it.
That could have been it if you have that running at the same time. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Here you are. You're with us. You're here. And what else could you ask for, really, in this life than
that's
that?
Right. Exactly.
We're going to take calls in a second. Actually, here's one right here. Let's find out who this is. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
This is Kyle from Rhode Island.
Well, hello, Kyle from Rhode Island.
Kyle from Rhode Island.
How are you?
Rhode is land.
Yeah. How's it going, man?
I am pretty good.
I don't feel like we hear enough from Rhode Island. Just generally, that state does not call in much. So I don't know. This is a real treat for us. For me, it is. I mean, I just don't feel like we hear from Rhode Island. Rhode Island doesn't get talked about a lot in a lot of things. I feel like Rhode Island's not in a lot of TV shows or mentioned.
They do have chickens.
They have chickens? What?
Yeah. Rhode Island breads.
Oh.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Right.
Okay. Are you guys famous for that?
No, we're mostly famous for basically ocean because, you know, ocean state.
Yeah, you guys got all kinds of ocean. And are there places that you guys go all the time to hang out on the ocean? What's your favorite, I guess, beach or whatever? Do you have resorts and things?
We don't necessarily have resorts, but I mean, it's Narragansett Beach, Newport Beach. Those are basically the two famous ones, I guess.
All right. Well, if I'm ever out in Rhode Island, I'll ping you and you can tell me where to go and what to do.
You can send him to the right
Absolutely.
Beach.
Sounds good to me. Brian, why don't you explain to our good buddy in Rhode Island how this works and what he could win?
All right. So, Kyle, we're going to be asking Daryl a trivia question here in just a moment. The answer to this trivia question is going to be numeric in style. Daryl is going to give his answer. It's going to be close, but it's probably going to be wrong. Then we're going to turn to you and ask you if the correct answer is higher or lower than Daryl's guess. If you are correct today, you win a huge collection of Steam games. Five, count them, five Steam games that you can win. Should we tell them what they are?
Yeah, tell them the names.
4089 Ghost, Deer Red, Five Champions of Canaan, Expert Rifleman Reloaded, and Live is the Death of the Earth. La Vesa, Death of the Earth.
Yeah, who knows what that is. But it's five of them, and I'm guessing in one of those five, you're going to find your favorite game of the year. So
that's right.
Those are your things you could win. What is our topic?
Awesome. Our topic today is, Doc, it's Back to the Future.
Oh, Daryl, Back to the Future. How many years? How many years now? Or what, 32 years since? Is that right? Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah, it seems right.
Good Lord. That's insane.
Marty,
I'm getting old. And I can't believe he's still with us. I'm glad he is, but you know, may he ever live.
He looks the same too.
Yeah, he hasn't changed a bit.
He's kind of looking like they made Christopher Lloyd look for the first movie. He's now looking like that.
Sounds right. All right, Daryl. Here's your question. In the Back to the Future. Oh, do you have a favorite Back to the Future? Is it just the first one? I'm guessing.
Oh, I like one, and two's okay, but the three with the train, I don't know.
Three's awesome. Three's great, you're wrong. One and three, it's good bread, crappy middle. I don't like two.
He's got Vern or Jules. Either Jules or Vern pointing to his flux capacitor at the end of the movie there.
Yeah. Yep. Best thing ever. Go look it up if you guys don't know what we're talking about. Look up Back to the Future 3, Point at Wiener, and you'll find it.
That's right.
All right, here's your question. In Back to the Future, Doc Brown has a bunch of clocks in his lab. They all go off at the same time. How many minutes slow does Doc say these clocks are running? So this is how many minutes slow does he claim they're running? This, of course, makes Marty late for school. Daryl, here's your range. I'm going to say it's anywhere between 10 and 60 minutes.
So it's an hour or less.
Yeah, that's what I could have said. It's a good point. Didn't really need to come up with a lowball number. Whatever. Yeah, because there's no negative numbers. I don't know why I thought that was a good thing. But it's between negative 80.
They're actually fast, Marty.
Oh, yeah, that would be fast, wouldn't it? Negative time would be fast, I guess.
Right, exactly.
All right. I feel like we're learning some things today. So what do you think, Daryl?
It's your kids, Marty. They can't read a clock.
That's right.
Rub it all. Only read digital.
Rub that question all over you like hot baby oil and tell us your answer.
I'm going to say, I should remember this. I've seen it a million times. I'll just say, I don't want to say 47, so I'll say 37.
37. All right, 37. Brian, is that number right?
37 is incorrect. Mm. Kyle, is the correct answer higher or lower than 37?
I'm thinking it's slower, if I remember right.
Okay.
Because I remember Marty saying he was late for school.
Are you saying more or less than?
Less than, I think he's saying.
Okay.
Less.
Yeah, less. Okay. When's the last time you saw the first movie, Kyle?
Oh, God. Probably last year sometime. Playing Warcraft, just watching random movies.
All right, that's sooner than me. So I think maybe, well, let's find out if you're right. I have the answer here. Let's just see what the judges say. Judges, is that correct?
Congratulations.
That is correct.
You're a winner. Right.
And thanks to Jordan, you're going to get all of these codes as a result. I'll send them to you in either a private message, or you can email. Actually, the fastest way would be emailing me at scott@frogpants.com, and I'll just copy them over to you. Your answer is 25 minutes. He says the clocks are all 25 minutes slow, which means Marty is late for school. Here is a clip right here.
1:15 a.m. Twin Pines Mall.
Right.
Are those my clocks right here?
Yeah. It's 8:00.
Perfect. My experiment worked. They're all exactly 25 minutes slow.
Wait a minute, Doc. Are you telling me that it's 8:25?
Precisely.
Damn. I'm late for school.
How's the music go,
Doc,
after that?
Why are you playing the beginning part of Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon album in your laboratory?
It does sound like it. That's so funny.
Oh my gosh.
You got me in the mood for that now. I want to listen to Pink Floyd
which,
later.
Back to the Future or Dark Side of the Moon?
Both. Well, I want to see both.
I hear actually if you watch the movies, if you start Dark Side of the Moon while you watch Back to the Future, you'll miss all the dialogue from Back to the Future.
Wow, that's intense. Also, I heard that if Marty had his own damn watch on his wrist, he wouldn't be late for school, you little dumbass.
Right.
Stupid.
Doc, it's not cool to wear a watch in 1984.
Nobody wears these. All right. Well done. Congratulations. We will have that off to you in a jiffy just as soon as I get that email. Daryl is the Trek Nerd. You can find him on This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and, of course, on Twitter as the Trek Nerd. Daryl, what's going on with you? Oh, I know. You're going to tell us a game of your own making and choosing. What do you got there?
I'm going to read a thing. Wait.
Great.
I'm going to tell you a thing that I've entered into YouTube, a query.
Okay.
And you're going to guess the result.
You complete the phrase and win nothing.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah,
that's the one.
Can a chicken blank?
Can a chicken
blank? Oh, yeah, there's some like...
fart.
Like, can a chicken walk backwards or something like that? There's something that chickens supposedly can't do.
Oh, I think burp. Can a chicken burp?
Oh, you know what? I'm going to say, can a chicken fly?
Oh, that's actually better. That seems like a thing people would ask.
Yeah.
They can fly short distances, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'm going to say, he says fly, I'm going to say burp.
And the number one actual query answer response thingy is, can a chicken raise a duck?
What? Really?
It really is.
Somebody found some duck eggs and they want to know if they can just give them to their chicken and their chicken will raise them.
That's really weird.
But the funny thing is, they'll still taste like chicken.
Ga ga ga. Bye, Daryl.
By the way, somebody pointed out, I do want to say who exactly that was because it's brilliant. Balloon Knot says Marty is looking at his watch on the movie poster for Back to the Future. So why isn't he wearing a watch when he goes to Doc Brown's house to see that it's actually 8:25?
Gotta get back in time. Is that the music that plays as soon as he goes, I'm late for school, and then the music kicks in?
No, it's Power of Love, isn't it?
Oh, is it Power of Love? All right.
Yeah.
I forget. It's been too long.
Oh, is it?
Is it? I don't know, man.
I think it is. I think Power of Love plays right after, you know, for the skateboarding, the sketching montage.
Oh, it's so good. I want to watch that movie. And then, and now in the HD version, you can see the principal's weird fake skin, old guy skin that he's wearing. Because when he goes to the school, he's supposed to look older because he's younger than the other one, and he's got these horrible appliances.
Right.
Go watch it. You'll know what I mean. Here's this. Looky here, it's the news brought to you by
a brand new episode of Soundography. Check out the music of Bernard Sumner. You know him as the lead vocalist of New Order, but he was also part of Joy Division, of course, as well as Electronic, with a little help from the Pet Shop Boys, and Bad Lieutenant. We go through his entire library and tell you where the gems are. Check it out, soundography.com, starring me and Hammond Chamberlain.
Yes, that's out now, everybody. Go check it out.
Go check it out.
Sounds
check
like a thing
out.
To check out. All right. What do we have here? Quick news today.
Sure.
Apparently, bears use laptop computers. Hmm. And we know this because a bear appears to be carrying one in Montana on a roadside. This man captured video of a black bear carrying an object he said appeared to be a laptop on the side of the road. Mike Potter. Horse hockey. Posted.
Mike Potter is the name of our former neighbor. It's funny. On the other side of Crazy Neighbors, we had another neighbor named Mike Potter.
Oh, that's great.
Mike and Pam Potter.
Was he not crazy? He was all right?
He was all right.
Okay.
He now does CrossFit, which we know because anytime we see him, he talks about CrossFit.
Yeah. Let me tell you something I've learned about people who are really into CrossFit. They love talking about CrossFit. I have a CrossFit friend. Actually, Darren's not too bad. Darren doesn't really pound it down your throat. But if you want to, if you decide to say, "Hey, Darren, tell me about CrossFit," he'll go on. He'll tell you.
And he's even like he's torn muscles away from bone and injured himself to where he couldn't walk for several days, and then just goes right back to CrossFit.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
That is none
it's
of
hardcore.
That, none of that sounded good to me.
No, thank you very much.
Well, anyway, he says it's a Montana moment I'll never forget. He says,
Jeez.
I grew up in White here in Whitefish, Montana.
The sea was angry that day, my friends.
Commenters on Potter's post suggested the object may have merely been a piece of wood in the shape of a computer. That's weird, too.
Yeah.
He says, as I drew focus and zoomed in with my phone. I love that. As I drew focus and zoomed in with my phone.
Jeez.
I could see it more clearly. And then when I was editing the video and the next morning, I zoomed in. I should have said and enhanced. At the 100%, and it appeared to have been a little micro logo on it, shading right where the laptop would fold.
Good Lord.
Yeah, if you go look at this photo. Let's see.
This guy's, I really would like to write for the Sears catalog.
He's super into this. Yeah, there it is. I think it probably is one.
Could be.
I don't know how he got it.
Right? Like, just pulled it out of a dump. It's like an old Acer or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It looks like a dark gray square.
A little bit. I'm gonna play the video for chat room. Chat room, you guys want to see this here? Hold on, I gotta fix this web thing's all jacked up. Here we go. Okay.
Enhance. Zoom. Enhance.
Here we go. So there he is. I think it might be one. Although it's really short.
It could
short.
Just be a piece of foam rubber from packaging, like.
Oh, yeah.
Black foam stuff, and the micro logo could just be where he bit it before he arranged his bite.
Also, who's micro? Is that a brand?
No, I just think he's saying like a little logo, like a little small logo on it.
I used to work for a company called National Micro Computers, and they were kind of lame.
Yeah.
That's a
unique name right there.
Yeah, right? They really went deep on that one.
Worldwide Industries.
Pretty close. PETA. You know, the PETA, they're the pets and what's their shortened for?
People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
That's it. Yes. They say that milk is a, quote, symbol of white supremacy. I feel like they're not doing themselves any favors when they do stuff
like this. Did they get hacked like McDonald's did?
It feels like it. It says PETA shenanigans vary from the absurd to the downright offensive, from likening rape survivors to pigs and cows to calling Pokemon a form of animal cruelty. I did not know that one.
No.
You know those are fake cartoon animals, right?
Everyone not real. Not
those
real.
Aren't, they were yeah, never I real.
I caught a Dragonite over the weekend, Scott.
Oh my gosh, Brian. You need to report that. Tell PETA what you've done.
Like the big one. And I put him in a small cage.
Yeah.
Where he's so cramped he can't walk around. It's like basically a small ball.
And you're doing tests on him all the time.
That's right, exactly.
Injecting him with
cage-fed Dragonite.
Yeah, infecting him with cologne just to see what'll happen. It's a weird thing to say. Sorry. Anyway, the animal rights group released today a video to cry over milk, it says here, equating the nutritious drink with Nazism. That says, do you know what milk has long been a symbol? Or did you know that milk has long been a symbol used by white supremacists, unquote? Really? Really? All right. It says...
I think that there's not somebody at PETA who is in charge of their social media. And they just say, anyone who works here could just type anything they want in their social media.
Yep. They said it has long been used as a symbol for white supremacy groups as a thinly veiled allegory for racial purity. I got news for you. Milk's full of all kinds of weird shit. You got to homogenize it. And homogenization means bringing a bunch of stuff together and being homogenized.
Oh, it does, yes.
So it means the opposite. Milk is for everyone. To back up the statement, they even played a prominent... played a prominent role in Jordan Peele's race comedy, Get Out, with quotes from the director. It's followed by the same secretly captured and horrifying footage of cows being manhandled and abused by factory farm workers. So how did the association of white supremacism to milk even come about? Perhaps the answer lies in Inglorious Bastards Hans Landa's love of delicious milk. This article is going to great lengths.
Milk. I love drinking milk. Is there a problem with that?
That was more.
You went a little old
Jewish comedy on that, but
I kind of did. Yeah.
I still liked it. There was nothing wrong with it. Mail carrier left an apologetic note after dropping a package in the toilet.
Okay. How?
I just wanted to drop that cold open on you on that one. It says here an Englishman returned home to find a strange note explaining why a package he ordered was in his toilet. Sam Cook shared photos of the unopened package nestled
Sam Cook.
Yeah, Sam Cook, your other neighbor.
Don't know much about history.
Don't know much
biography. Right.
Biology. Is it biology or biography?
Biology. Biology.
I don't know. Freaking who knows.
I just watch a biography channel and that's in my head.
There you go. unopened package nestled in his toilet bowl along with two missing delivery cards from the Royal Mail. I love that it's the Royal Mail.
Yes.
He says, well, this happened today, and they took a picture of it. The first missed delivery note simply informed him that the package had been delivered to an open window in his home. The second featured an apologetic message after the delivery person realized the package had fallen into the toilet. He says, I am really sorry, he wrote. I think your parcel may have fallen into the toilet accidentally. The mail... he should have said the loo. That would have been good. The Royal Mail... reached out to apologize to Cook on Twitter after his post went viral, but the 22-year-old took the bizarre situation in stride. Quote, there's honestly nothing to apologize for. The parcel is absolutely fine. Gave me and thousands of others a good laugh at all. That's all, he responded. So it all ended nicely. It's fine.
So at what point as a UPS delivery person do you say, well, they're not answering the door. Let me walk around their house and see if I can find an open window, and I'll just drop the package in through an open window.
Yeah, it's a little weird. Have you ever had that where someone...
Oh.
Had to use a hole in your house to get you the thing?
Absolutely not. They, you know, if it requires a signature, they come back another time. If not, they leave it on the front porch.
Same.
And that's it.
Same here. I wonder what's different over there. The Royal Mail has a different way of doing things.
Please drop this into an open window. Special delivery instructions.
It does seem funny to me.
Toss through opening in flat.
Yeah. Look for opening in flat. Insert package in hole. Okay, we're going to take a very brief break. And when we come back, more. I love Casper so much that I want to talk about it now. Casper made a mattress for me that turned out to be exactly what I needed. So let's talk about Casper, because they helped bring this episode to you today. They're an online retailer of premium mattresses for what I like to say always is a fraction of the cost. And if you don't believe me, go to a showroom and just see what I mean. Good gosh. Showrooms are ridiculous. Buying online from Casper is not. They're revolutionizing the buying experience. And they're cutting costs. You just deal with them instead of having to go to a reseller or a showroom, and they pass that savings directly on to you, the consumer. They're made obsessively, they're engineered mattresses at a very fair price, and they're made of supportive memory foam, and I can promise you that's what I'm laying on, because it feels very supportive, very foamy, very sleepy. And it's just the right, I don't know, just the right kind of sleep for me, the perfect sleep surface. It's a nice breathable design. Casper sent me a mattress to try it out for myself, and man, it was so soft and comfortable. Had such great rest on it. And, I don't know. I was sleeping bad. How else do I say this? I was sleeping bad before I got a Casper mattress. You can buy it easily online, completely risk-free. You get 100 days to try this thing. 100 days. And they're made right here in the USA. Free shipping and returns to the US and Canada. Did I mention also that we'll save you an additional $50 toward the purchase of the mattress? By going to casper.com/morningstream and entering the promo code morningstream. That's casper.com/morningstream and the promo code morningstream. Terms and conditions apply. 100 days, man. Nobody else does that. Go check it out. Casper.com/morningstream and the code morningstream. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, major spoilers. That's Steven Schleicher will be here. He'll be talking some nerdy stuff. We also have the big, great return of the MAME event, where we talk about MAME stuff. Thanks to Brian. He has a nice little MAME thing.
Yeah.
And we'll have some emails and stuff later. Oh, and we have a mashup today, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yay! Can't wait to hear that.
Yeah. All that and more coming up. Brian, bring me music first.
Well, how about a group today that even Patton Oswalt likes?
Whoa.
Right? Patton Oswalt said, thank you for that greasy gasoline diamond of a song for one of their songs. Michael Shelley of WFMU says, this is the most pop song I've heard from you guys. And as a matter of fact, that is the song we're going to be playing today. The band is Sunshine and the Rain. It's actually a duo husband and wife duo, Ashley Morey on vocals and bass and Justin Morey on guitar. Both of them came from psychedelic rockers, the Black Hollies, and this is their side project. They released a debut 7-inch single a couple of years ago called Can't Stop Thinking About You. But early last year, they jumped into the studio in Echo Canyon West, which is where Sonic Youth recorded a lot of their stuff with John Spencer, to start working on this LP. The LP is awesome. It's called In the Darkness of My Night. Prepare for some heavy rockin' garage style rock. This is so good. I'm Not Your Girl. Here is The Sunshine and the Rain.
Under the sea, off the coast of Spain, Aquaman spots a submarine where no submarine should be.
I say, everyone, will you excuse me? I left something outside.
Now, it's here. A new force at breakfast. This is the Morning Stream.
All right, everybody, we're back, and that was great and rocking. I liked that quite a bit.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, yeah. Enjoyed the hell out of that. We're doing it. We're still doing it. We still got this going on.
Good. This thing, well, I should hope so.
Yeah, yeah. This stuff we're up to here on the show, this is still a thing. And part of that...
It's still help, it's still
help,
happening.
Help, it's still happening, exactly. And we're about to enter a new phase. And that phase is this phase, if I can find it. Welcome to the show, everybody, all the way from Kansas. It's Steven Schleicher. Hello, Steven.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
I'm good. When you said the new phase, I was like, oh, are we in the Gibbous phase already?
Yes, it's the new Gibbous. What'd you call it? Gibbous or Gibbous?
Gibbous.
So waning.
Hey, waning moon. What's with all the comic book artists dying lately? Have you noticed there's a real uptick in that?
Bernie Wrightson.
They're old.
Yeah, I guess so. It just seems like a real bummer, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it is. Bummer. It really is. But, you know, it's always important to celebrate people when they're alive. So one of my favorite artists of the week this week, Mr. Scott Johnson.
Oh, thanks, man. Oh, don't curse me, though. I'm going to die next.
Don't you
no,
see
we
what
celebrate
you've done?
You when you're alive.
This is going to go bad. anyway, it's good to have you on. I hope things are well with you and yours. Everything going okay?
I think so. Yeah. Saw that horrible Ghost in the Shell movie this weekend.
Oh, I was going to ask. So I have a friend who saw it and came away very middling about it. The reviews have been hideous. And the friend that I had see it is a huge Ghost in the Shell fan. Just loves the anime to death and loves everything connected to it. And came away really disappointed. So I'm real curious about your thoughts. What'd you think?
My three-word review, derivative, uninspiring, and boring.
Oh, ouch.
I could not wait to get out of the theater. I mean, minute that it went to black and the first bit of credits popped up, I was out of the theater.
Wow. That bad?
Yeah, it was not good.
Okay. Well, that's a bum rummer there. I didn't know it was going to be that bad.
It didn't have a very good weekend either. $19 million is all it made. Poor Scotch Brothers in the Night Attack movie draft.
Yeah, they seemed a little cocky about that pick, but
That and Chips, which pulled in just a little bit less at $14 million. So
yeah, actually topped the current week. Yeah, that was their opening week. Mm-hmm. Chips now has 4.1 in the follow up. That's real bad.
Jeez.
Boss Baby at number one, but at a very also terribly reviewed.
Yeah,
Ghost in the
Shell
43.
We're still leading the draft.
Yeah, that's true.
They said it couldn't be done, and all we had was Power Rangers.
And Power Rangers holding on pretty good in the top four.
Yep. A lot of people are saying that's really good.
Yeah,
surprisingly good.
The reviews for that are pretty tanky, but I talk to people I trust, and they're like, "That is the most fun popcorn movie I've seen this year." So, I'm seeing it tomorrow night. In fact, I'll let you guys Wednesday night. I'll let you guys know what I think.
Oh, cool. Good.
So, all right, Steven, before we get too far, let's talk. We got to just get something on the table here. Brian has seen an episode and a half of Iron Fist, and he likes Iron Fist, so tell him why he's wrong.
So far, I'm liking it, but I'm only an episode and a half in.
Yeah.
Where did it fall down for you?
Yeah.
About another 15 minutes from where you're at.
Oh, God, really? Okay.
Actually, the first two episodes, they should have been combined into the pilot episode, into the first episode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing, without getting too spoilery, it's not a horrible show. It's just not very good compared to everything else that we've seen.
Yeah.
My biggest complaint, and this shouldn't come as a big surprise, that Rosario Dawson is in this series for like four or five episodes.
Uh-huh. Same character as she is?
Yeah, she plays Night Nurse. And there's really no reason for her to be in the show.
Okay.
There she really isn't.
Yeah.
Huh? I think it's just to tie the pieces together.
Okay.
Well, it's funny that she just keeps bumping into each one of the defenders one at a time.
Basically. I mean, the first time she's on, in the first episode she's on, I was just sitting there going, why is she even in the scene? It makes no sense. She has no business being here.
Yeah.
And yet she's just hanging around, and it's just like, ugh.
Yeah.
So the second problem is at the part where you're at, Brian, and again, this isn't really spoilery, but someone disappears for 15 years and suddenly says, hey, I'm Danny Rand. People are going to think that you might have some problems.
Yeah.
And they really, there are some elements, and you'll see when they pop up later in the show, Brian, that they could have really played up on what is the real part of what Danny's talking about and what is the fake part of what Danny's talking about.
Okay.
And they could have played up some more mystery with, what's the son's name? The, Warren? No. Yeah. The Meacham.
Owen.
Is it Warren Meacham?
I think Owen, isn't it?
Owen, whatever, I forget what his name is. They could have really, there's some
Ward,
things where
I'm
he's...
Sorry, Ward, yes.
Ward.
Yeah, where he's slinking around in a building, and it's like, oh, they could have cut some parts out of here and really made this a big mystery for a big reveal later on, mm-hmm. and they didn't. I mean, there's just some, there's like thousands of missed opportunities in this show that I think really good editing could probably fix if they couldn't go back and reshoot or rewrite some stuff.
Yeah.
But probably the biggest problem is the Danny Rand fight scenes. I can't do any martial arts. Mm-hmm. But the stuff that we see in Iron Fist literally looks like he learned it, you know, an hour before they shot. And according to an interview with the guy, he said that he went through about 3 weeks of intensive training. Then I don't know if he got busy with Game of Thrones or what was going on, but he said some of those scenes he was literally learning the moves 15 minutes before they shot them.
Dang!
Oh, and wow! It showed. Okay.
Wow.
Oh, geez.
And, and the whole point of Iron Fist is he's a martial arts man.
And not right. just a martial arts man. He is the greatest martial artist in the Marvel Universe, maybe next to Shang-Chi, but he's the greatest martial artist in the Marvel Universe. And some of those sparring scenes look really weak.
Oh, man. I'm bummed
and
by this.
And so those are my biggest criticisms. Now, some other people have other issues with the whitewashing, the orientalism of the whole nature of what Danny Rand represents. So I can see that, but for me, this is why
goes back to the original comics. I mean, Danny Rand was an Asian in the original Marvel in the source material, so it's not really whitewashing. And
they could have hired a dude though that was like good at this stuff.
See, the problem is, they could have, but the problem is with Daredevil, you can have a guy in a mask jump through a door, and then 5 seconds later, a guy jumps out who's the stuntman doing all the rest of the heavy work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you're doing Luke Cage, he can flip up his hoodie and he can go about his fight scenes. Danny Rand, and now this is a spoiler, never puts on the costume.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you can't get a stunt person to easily go in and ape his moves.
Why? Sure. Who? So how do we know this kid? This Danny Rand kid?
He's a guy from Game of Thrones.
Oh, he's the gay brother, right?
No.
Hold on. This is going to drive me nuts. Danny Rand.
Who's the actor?
Yeah, the actor. Who's that dude? Iron Fist.
Finn Jones.
Okay, Finn Jones. And he's from Game of Thrones, that kid?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Okay, is he the
Renly Baratheon.
Oh, he's not Renly, is he?
He's Renly.
Oh.
No. Dice Tomato says no. Loras.
Loras. Okay. Loras. Okay, he's the Knight of Flowers or whatever. Yeah, he's the gay brother to what's her name. Okay, I knew that's who I was thinking of. But,
oh, right. When you see him with longer hair, it's way more obvious.
Yeah, but I guess my point is, hire based on, you know, I can do some fisticuffs. Don't hire based on, he was a sort of an also-ran third-tier B character on Game of Thrones. I don't know. Like, you had an opportunity here is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Brian, you're 15 minutes away from finding out why it's bad. So
I can't wait. I'm going to go through the whole thing unless it just gets
the last I think two episodes.
Yeah.
Were really good. And actually, had they ended it on episode 12, and you'll see this part where episode 12 ends, I was like, "Oh, cool. That's how they're going to end the season." And it's like, "Oh no, there's another episode after this."
Oh. Really?
But yeah, there's some really cool there are some cool moments in the show. But there's a bunch of stuff that just looks slapped together.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Well,
you've all seen that kid's butt in,
in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, he had his bum in there. I think maybe even his wiener.
Seen Iron Butt.
Yeah. Finn Jones. Let's see. How old is he? He's probably young. 88.
Did he pay the Iron Fist price?
Yeah, he was born in 88.
Oh, my gosh. Jeez. Has anyone made that Iron
Fist? Some of us were graduating high school. Some of us were out of high school.
Yeah, some of us should have graduated in 88, but graduated in 87. Because,
oh, really?
Because their parents were lame and made me a year ahead. And not some a year
of,
back.
Some of us were born 2 weeks after the school year started, so they had to graduate in 89.
Yeah, that's true. And some of us are still mad at their parents for making us do that because all our friends were in 88, and the ones the year before that were lame.
Mm-hmm. Some of us, it sounds like some of us should just get over it.
But some of us should get over it. Some of us should let this go after all this time. All right. Hey, this is all good. Let's keep moving. Marvel admits digital copy mistake. What happened there?
Yeah. So you remember a couple of, probably about a month or so ago, we were talking about this where Marvel had changed its digital code that it put into the comic books to where instead of getting the digital version of that comic book, you got like access to three other issues or titles that you may not have wanted. And every Marvel book had those same three titles in there. And fans went crazy over this news. In fact, people were writing us both on the site and sending us emails saying, I can't believe they did this. I'm stopping reading Marvel Comics because of this. I cannot believe that they would screw fans over like this. And apparently Marvel says that, yeah, we're listening to what the fans said. And now effective with Secret Empire number one that comes out on May 3rd, they're going to reinstate the free digital code with every physical copy you buy.
Wow. All right. Well,
which I think is a super smart move.
I agree. Yeah. Anything else would have felt lame. Good. Yeah, that would have been a bad move had they not done that. Well, good for them. Well done, Marvel. You've averted yet another controversy from your reputation as a giant company.
Give them about 24 hours and they'll start another one.
They'll have something else to do. It's fine.
Yeah.
Don't you feel like we're entering a space where Marvel is getting more scrutiny than usual? You know what I mean?
They are, and if you want a very interesting and somewhat inflammatory, from a fan's perspective, take on what's going on at Marvel, go over to ICV2.com. Yeah. They had a three-part interview with some of the Marvel publishers last week, and some of the comments they made really had the comic Twitter feed angry and upset at them this weekend. One of them, and again, this was a retailer thing, and I had a conversation with a writer who was like, look, everything that you're reading online is poorly transcribed from what was actually said. But one of the comments was, besides these two artists really don't move the needle when it comes to selling comics.
Mm.
And that got a lot of people very angry. And then there was another thing that they said about diversity, but you can go read that over at ICV2.
Mm.
No. ICV and the number two.
And the number two. Got it. ICV2.
ICV2.
I see V2. Whenever I see Veronica, I see V2. excellent. Well, then we've also got the story about Black Lightning costume reveal for the CW series. Black Lightning being a character that I am woefully unfamiliar with, so you're going to have to explain.
Yeah, he was the first black superhero to get his own title. This was even before Luke Cage. We had Black Lightning over at DC Comics, and his power is, it's not... In the original days, he had a costume that generated electricity that he could shoot out at people.
Mm-hmm.
And probably the biggest thing that I always complain about Black Lightning in his original form was that here's a guy that had a very close cropped haircut, but when he would go out to fight crime, he would put on this giant afro with the mask attached to the afro.
Okay.
Which I always thought was the dumbest costume idea.
It's really
ever.
Weird, isn't it? What a weird choice.
I know. Thankfully, it looks like they're going away from that. The CW released the first image of Kreese Williams as Black Lightning.
Well, I would hope so, dude. I would hope that they would get away from that. I would hope that that was priority
that
number one.
That went on for a long time.
Really? but in 2017, I would hope the first thing in that meeting that happened when those producers were sitting around the table was, all right, guys, job one, get the mask unattached from the afro.
Yeah. Some people really think that that is one of the most brilliant costume designs ever. I think it's one of the most stupid costume designs ever. That's just me. But there are some people
Groucho
that are just
Marx
like, oh,
glasses.
That's wonderful.
Yeah,
right?
It is Groucho Marx glasses. It is that equivalent.
Yeah.
That's a good one, Brian. Exactly. I don't know why you would ever do that in the first place, but definitely now you don't do it. So if anyone's upset about that, you're wrong. Anyway, sorry.
So this costume looks pretty good. It kind of looks like a cross. I think it's designed by the same woman who designs all of the CW superhero costumes. So it has a little bit of the Adam costume feel with a little bit of the texturing that you see in the Flash TV series as well. Mm. It looks interesting, but this is not an origin story for the hero. As CW has announced that this is going to take place after the hero is retired and he's being drawn back in because one of his daughters wants to be a hero and one of his daughters is getting mixed up with the ne'er-do-wells.
My memory is that he appeared on some of the old the more, well, I say recent, but the later 70s versions of the Super Friends, right?
Didn't he? Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes, he did. Yeah. With Apache Chief and everyone else. Yes, when they were doing their let's bring in different groups of people to represent the heroes.
Did the afro? I gotta find a picture of that. I wonder if that was a thing then.
No, I mean when I say a big afro, I don't mean like a 7 foot big wig. No, but I'm talking about it's bigger than what you would expect on on this costume. But right. Yeah, I mean even in the TV series. No, I'm thinking Black Lightning in the TV series.
Oh, he looked more like
he
Wolverine.
He actually had like a full on cowl on.
Yeah, he looked more like Wolverine. He had like these weird yellow blue thing and I found it.
But if you go and look for the original comic book series, you will see it. And there's a whole sequence in when he's designing his costume with this scientist guy where it's like he's putting the mask and the afro are attached together, and it's just like, what?
Yeah. I'm looking at some older stuff. Oh yeah, there it is. It's basically kind of like, here's our version of Shaft. Like, here's Shaft.
Kind of, yeah.
And he's Shaft is now in our comic. Oh, I see some of the more recent comic.
Superhero can shoot lightning out of his wrists.
Some of the more recent iterations of him, though, in recent comics looks like this costume that they're showing on your site. This looks great.
Yeah, the newer ones look really cool, especially the one that you're seeing right up there in the upper left-hand corner that you were just showing. That one looks really, really cool.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. And this, like I said, this new costume doesn't look bad, but it's clear that he's not trying to hide or is not going to hide his identity as a Black Lightning. And we're expecting this to arrive in the fall, although this could be a mid-season replacement next year. They have not announced a release date for that.
All right. Well, here's another question in the DC Universe. Did the recent Flash episode reveal Season 4's big bad guy?
Maybe. Now, here's the thing. The CW people, Berlanti Productions, have said they're not going to go with another speedster for the big bad in Season 4 because every season has had a speedster as the villain.
They're kind of running out of them, too.
Yeah,
they kind of are. This last week, the big bad was Abracadabra, this guy from the 64th century. He comes back in times and he starts monologuing about all of these great villains that Flash has encountered. Professor Zoom, the Reverse Flash, all these other ones. And then he drops this one called DeVoe. Yeah. And then he just keeps rambling along. And anyone who's paying attention would be like, who the heck is this DeVoe guy that he's talking about? So if you do some search, you find out that in the Golden Age, Flash, which would have been Jay Garrick at the time, fought this guy called DeVoe, who was a failed lawyer because he couldn't get criminals out of jail, but he knew that he was smarter than the criminals, so he decided to become the Thinker and start stealing technology to build all of these devices so he could become smarter and make all these plans that the criminals could then carry out.
Do you fight DeVoe after you've beaten Bell Biv?
Bell and Biv, yeah. I saw that one coming.
I couldn't help it. It was part of that.
So a lot of people are thinking.
Brian?
I should mention the guy who's playing Abracadabra. We've seen in DC stuff before. He was in The Dark Knight. Actually, he was in Ant-Man and The Dark Knight.
Oh,
but, like, you see the guy's face. It's David Desmalchian.
That's a cool name.
And he was one of the Joker's henchman in The Dark Knight God, I'm trying to remember what his deal was in Dark Knight, but he kept laughing like he had the permanent grin on his face.
Guy.
He was the cop. That's right. He was dressed as the cop in the parade.
Yeah. Right. Yep.
And he was the guy they captured and he was laughing in the ambulance.
He's got a very unique face. Whenever you see him, you're like, oh, that guy, I know him from things. And it's
he did a great job as Abracadabra.
Okay, he's your guy then. All right.
Well, not this guy. That guy's Abracadabra. Oh. But possibly the villain that has yet to be revealed is the Thinker for Season 4, because one of the things that's mentioned in the very first two parts of the episode is someone is buying up tech companies in Central City, and that's kind of one of the Thinker's motives as well.
Oh.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
All right.
Oh, cool.
Very cool. All right. Well, there's a lot more major spoilers going on, but for right now... Oh, you know what? I deleted I had a little theme for us for this. Hold on.
Cha-ching!
How about this
It's me, Mario.
Well, if I leave it...
No, how about this one? Okay, that's me yelling in a video game. I was yelling in a video game, and that brings us to the MAME event, everybody. And it's time to talk about MAME stuff. In particular, somebody made a cabinet that fits I saw this the other day. Fits a Nintendo Switch into it, like as part of the dock and everything. But you're playing. But your screen is a Switch, and you, Brian, explain it. This thing's awesome.
So it's a 3D printed cabinet that is. I can't really call it a dock for your Switch because it's really just a stand for it that looks like an arcade cabinet.
Yeah.
But it's a brilliant design, and you can get the stickers or make the stickers to make it look like a Neo Geo.
Oh, cool.
System. It is so damn cool looking, and. The plans for this have been put up on to cgtrader.com, so you can pay $10 and download the STL files to print this yourself, which I'm definitely going to do. I'm paying $10. This looks so cool.
Oh, and, without a question, I'd pay $10. But let me ask you this, Brian. Can you use, is the controller stuff that's part of the cabinet functional, or do you have to use a thing?
No, the stickers, those are just stickers on that cabinet.
Oh.
It's you still use your Joy-Cons to control it.
All right. And there's a and bunch of SNK games out for this thing. So
you could easily modify the STL files, though, where they put that control panel sticker. You could easily make a shape cutout so you can drop in
the controller,
the Joy-Con into there. But, I figure let that be a little fake looking control panel and let me just use the controller the way it's meant to be used. I'm totally fine with that.
And then
you can also do it with the Pro controller or slip the Joy-Cons into the fitted deal.
No, their link no longer works to the people that were selling this. It says
I can give a new link.
Oh, you have a new link? Because the website has no link or has no working link.
I will put a link in the chat room. How's that?
Yeah, let's do that. I want to see this.
CGTrader.com 3D Arcade Born for Nintendo Switch.
Oh, did it show up in the chat? It didn't show up for me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I put in the wrong chat.
There you go. That's fine. Okay, here we go. Oh, yeah, look at this. $10.49, that's all?
That's all.
And well, that's like, just the file. Obviously. You still have to
get that, but that's print it out. But that's cheap.
Yeah,
I mean,
and it's five pieces basically that you have to print out.
Mm-hmm. And if you've got yourself a, oh my gosh, someone made a Nintendo Switch keyring. I cannot spend time on CG Trader. I'm serious. I'll just buy everything that's here.
Right, I know. It's so cool.
Frick. Okay, well that's really cool. That's really really neat.
Yeah.
What an awesome idea. You know what I may do just to go nuts? I may go over to Steve's and just say, look, I know we're working on our arcade plans, but for now, let's make just a little wooden rad cabinet that holds my Switch. Just to say we have it and how cool it is and blah, blah, blah.
Because you worry that you're getting too lofty with the other things that it's never going to happen.
Well,
right?
I think we can make it happen. It's just an issue of let's do some other little things in the meantime that may inform what we ultimately do. You know what I mean? Like it wouldn't hurt to have some test drive stuff. Yeah. So anyway. We'll see.
Yeah, makes sense.
Very cool. That's a good
catch. Well, I'm downloading it. I'm going to print it this week, and I will let everybody know how it goes.
All right. Excellent. Steven, anything else happening on the site you'd like people to know about or check out?
Oh, no. Just everybody should go check it out. If you're into Pathfinder, we've been playing a Pathfinder game on Critical Hit for the last couple of weeks. A lot of fun. It's set in the Old West, and so people might want to check that out. That's Critical Hit, and of course, that's just one of the mini podcasts that we do over at majorspoilers.com. And go check it out.
Comparison. Pathfinder system versus the D&D system. Which do you prefer after playing a lot of both?
I kind of like, now we're still in the early stages, lower levels of Pathfinder, but I find it a little bit more fun than the fourth edition of Dungeons & Dragons.
Mm.
So that's kind of where I'm sitting at right now. Mm. Pathfinder was based out of or came out of the 3.5 edition of D&D. So there's some similarities. There's a lot of similarities in there, but I think building up some of the characters and your powers and abilities, especially for the character that I'm playing, so much easier than Dungeons & Dragons.
So the thing that's set in the Old West, you guys put magic in your scenario and all that?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, it's, that's one of the fun things that the GMs like to do in our games is we don't have to set everything in the high fantasy realm that you would expect Pathfinder or Dungeons & Dragons to be set in.
Yeah.
So if we want to set it in the Old West, but there's still, you know, some kinds of magics or monsters and those kinds of things out there, then it certainly gets incorporated in and makes it a lot more fun.
You know, I love that combination. It's one of my favorite things ever.
When it was suggested that we play Pathfinder, I said, okay, but not high fantasy. And then as we were all talking, it quickly evolved into either a 1930s detective noir or weird Western type stuff. And everybody was like, yeah, weird Western is right where we want to play.
It's like the Sixth Gun. It's so good.
Yeah. It's very much like Sixth Gun.
All right. I love it. Well, do check it out, everybody. Majorspoilers.com. Lots of podcasts. Lots of good stuff. Updated daily. It's a great resource. And if you're not bookmarking it, then you're a ding dong. Steven, have a fantastic day. We'll talk to you later. All right. Brian.
So true, though.
It is true.
You just become a ding dong.
Have I ever spoken so much truth in my life? Not once have I spoken as much truth. I just dropped a truth bomb. A truth bomb.
Preach.
All right, what are we doing now? I know what. Let's read an email. I got an email here.
Okay.
From Nike Talker is his name. Or Nike
could
Talker?
Nike Talker.
Could be Nike Talker. You're probably right.
Could be. You never know. It could, you know.
That whole episode on that documentary series on Netflix called Abstract, is it? Yeah. It's the one about artists and design and all that.
Hmm.
You should watch it. I think you would.
I'll totally check it out. Abstract is what it's called?
It's called Abstract, and it's an original series. And they just every episode follows an artist around of some prominence that's doing really interesting things. And In this case, it was the guy who came up with the first design for the Air Jordans and basically turned Nike into a multi-billion-dollar company with his designs. They were about to go out of business, and this guy came on and changed everything. But anyway, that's a really good documentary if you want to just learn about stuff about shoes that you never thought you'd want to know. It's crazy.
Awesome. I'll totally check it out.
And and they talk about how they made the self-lacing Back to the Future shoes and how they got that to work.
Oh, really? Yeah, okay.
Because because apparently 30 years ago, it was him that made the design for the film, and then 30 years later figured out how to make them work, which is nuts. Anyway, let's see. Got an email from Nike Talker who says, how did April Fool's go for you guys? Was it better because it landed on a Saturday? Abs-a-freaking-lutely!
Yes, 100% better.
Oh my gosh, I avoided all of it. I hate that day. It was awesome. It was great not to even worry about it. I didn't pay attention to any of the crap that came my way. It was amazing. So can they just make it a Saturday holiday? Or just, I know that's impossible, but that'd be great.
Make it the first Saturday in April? Sure, why not? Yeah.
Because it was so much better than a work day where you have to, you know, sort of be on the internet.
You have to be on the internet, yeah.
I didn't even pay attention to the ones that I usually like. Like, I really don't know what Blizzard did. I didn't look. Mm-hmm. That's weird to say.
ThinkGeek had some good ones.
Yeah, I didn't look at ThinkGeek. I didn't look at... Although ThinkGeek retweeted one of my comics today. That was really nice of them, by the way.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that was nice. It's the one where I show what a Mario ghost looks like before it dies. With that weird finger sticking out of its butt or whatever. That's
right.
And they retweeted it. Anyway, so point being, well done everyone who likes that stuff, and good on us for avoiding most of it.
Exactly.
Also,
more for you. Enjoy it. Enjoy it yourself.
Yeah, enjoy what you while you can. Okay, we got a mashup. This was created by Patrick Rudder, who sent this in, and he sent a few. So this is just one of many. We'll space them out. But here is. Oh, you know what else? I did something yesterday where I figured out what an average show sounds like. Our episode 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
How that sounds if you speed it up and you can hear the entire episode in 17 seconds. Do you want to hear what that sounds like?
Sure.
All right, here it is. It's going. I can hear the music break. I think that's Dan. I hear Dan there.
Yep.
That's it. That's the show.
Wow.
Yep. Well done.
Excellent.
You don't need to go back and listen to 1, 2, 3, 4. It's right there for you. Just slow your brain down and you'll hear every word we said.
That's how Neo listens to our show in The Matrix.
Nailed it. Here's the, he calls these supercuts. We call them mashups, but I kind of like supercuts pretty good too. And this again is from Patrick Rudder. Check it out.
Incredible. Finish him.
Look at me with the seamless transition.
That's the best way to make a seamless transition is to do it and then call attention to it.
Listen, zero leashes on you today. She's right. like 10-year-old daughters when they were 10.
I don't know. Maybe the floor is lava. I am the spiciest of meme lords.
Well, it's probably the same reason that it's hard for you to imagine your grandparents doing it on Saturday. Because you'll end up, I don't know, getting a tiny wiener or whatever. Oh, was it your little testicles? And we finally stayed in some crap hotel in Beaver, Utah. Just pee in a Starbucks cup. It was just a good thing to put in my mouth.
Out of your vehicle. I'm a Provo cop. You have 30 seconds to comply. I'm a Provo cop. Drop your weapon.
What's your name, son?
Opera Murphy. Leave me back a hemchi.
Well, you think we ought to call Daryl, or we just say F that guy?
We probably could do this without him and just imagine what he'd say. That's a tough one.
Smells like beef.
I remember seeing this movie. Hans Booby.
There you go. It's a good one. Well done.
Great. Good deal.
Yeah.
I think all the jury stuff up front, I'm going to guess that the Patrick Rudder is a jury fan.
Must be a jury fan, yeah. I mean, who's not, but who is, really? I mean, there's two questions you could ask yourself. Who's a jury fan and why are you? And then who isn't one? I am. I like jury. Justin's great.
I'm a fan.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with him. He says things like this.
Passengers, beep, beep, boop, ba-doop.
There you go.
High energy, big fan.
High energy, big fan.
You remember that Star Trek The Next Generation episode, Damok and Jilajad at Tangara?
Oh, I think we have a new Trek Nerd segment.
Yeah, it's my favorite thing maybe he ever said was that. It's really
Jilajad.
Good. Yep.
Colonel Fart. Fell on a chicken.
The things he says. Anyway, hey, let's take our leave Big thanks to everybody who supports us on Patreon at patreon.com/TMS. The show is primarily funded by you. You are a crowdfunded source of our ability to make the show. So if you haven't done it, please consider it. Even a dollar a month would do it. Patreon.com/TMS. Lots of cool rewards by doing that. You get in our super secret Slack group, as well as many other things, just by being a very small potential giver. And if you give more, there are cool levels with neat things that come in the mail. So go check that out. Patreon.com/TMS for everything else. Find us at frogpants.com/TMS. All right, Brian.
Sir.
You probably have music, I guess. I don't know.
I have a music. We had so many requests for this day, but nothing for the rest of the week. So all the requests that came in for April 3rd, I'm going to use for the rest of the week. So,
all right. Nice.
So if you send a request in that had to be aired this day, I'm picking them in the order that it seems like it's appropriate to pick them, if that makes sense.
It does.
Starting with this one. Michael says, April 3rd is the 4-year anniversary of meeting my Gail. She's my rock, my partner, my everything. She is my own fellow tadpooler, since our dinner discussion usually involves some reference to Scott butchering English, Brian remembering something slightly different, and the gem that is the straw tart blueberry pop torch. Today, around 3:30, she will become my wife, and including you guys via this request only feels right. She loves Incubus, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and Muse, so anything covered by or from them would put the icing on the wedding cake of our big day. I love you, Nugget. Signed, Michael.
Nugget. I love it. It's cute.
That is a cute pet name.
Yeah.
So congratulations on your upcoming wedding here, and just, well, I don't know what time zone you're in, but it could be 4 hours away from right now. You guys are getting married.
That's true. Nuptials, man. Nuptials are coming. Bumptials after that, too. You know what I'm saying?
Bumptials?
Yeah. Mm.
Bumping Ugg-shules?
Ugg-shules. Oh, that's even better.
Anyway, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Let's move off of that. So I was going with the Muse. I've already exhausted my supply of Incubus covers. Sorry. And most of my supply of Red Hot Chili Peppers. But I love Muse, so I'm always happy to pull from my library of Muse covers, and had a great Branches cover lined up. It was a cover of their song Lies, but it didn't seem appropriate for a wedding. This one seems completely appropriate for a wedding. This one comes from the single that Muse released in 2010 that was for Dead Star, and In Your World is like a an online only single that you could buy and download. Included this cover right here. It's Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, Can't Take My Eyes Off You, covered here by Muse.
All right, here it is. We'll be back tomorrow, I think. Yeah, Jury's back in town. He's on his way home from Orlando. Oh, no Hotline Monday today because he's flying that exact hour. So that will not be happening today. But he'll be back tomorrow for Jury time. We'll also have Bill here and all that stuff.
I hope we can coax Jury into talking about the movie thing he was doing last week.
Yeah, I want to know what porno he was in. Because you don't go to the San Fernando Valley and make a movie in like a day and a half.
No, it's not a porno. Exactly.
Yeah, it's a porno. So I want to know about his multi-man porno with Brian Brushwood. I'm very excited.
What, do you guys order a pizza?
Comes in, no pants, t-shirt. Ready to go. Here it is. Here's your song. We'll be back then. See you guys then.
You're just too good to be true. I can't keep my eyes off you. You feel like heaven to touch. I wanna hold you so much. As long as love has arrived. Thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you. Pardon the way that I
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.